Okay, good afternoon, good morning still. And calling to order April 16th TDM Advisory Committee and welcoming some new members. And thank you for applying, and I'm sure you went through the application process and got to face the room full of stern faces, but they were all had our best interests at heart. So thank you for joining our group, and hopefully we can help guide San Ramon into the next millennium. There's a lot of big plans for San Ramon and a lot of things that need guiding, and one of those things is transportation. So thank you for joining us. And did anybody get a chance to review the notes and the minutes from the last meeting that could second an approval request?
I did.
Okay, can you second that then?
Yes, I second that.
Thank you.
And so, Chris, did you make the motion to approve it?
Yes.
Okay.
I alluded to it. I guess I should formally do it. And then item three, public comment. I don't think we have any members of the public here. This is all important members of our committee.
Correct.
So let's move on to new business. And Darlene is going to introduce some of the new committee members.
Yes, well, actually, we have one new committee member. This is Mike from DVC, San Ramon campus. I don't know if you want to say a little bit about yourself in regards to your interest of the committee. But yes, Chris, you are right. He was interviewed by the by the planning commissioners as well. And welcome. Welcome.
Thanks, Darlene. Hi, everyone. Of course, Mike Holzbach. Yeah, I've been at the DVC San Ramon for just about 2 years now. Came over prior to that. I was at Ohlone College in Fremont. So I'm kind of getting used to the region, the Tri-Valley. Although I live in the Tri-Valley, I live in Pleasanton, and so I'm certainly somewhat familiar with that, but getting more familiar with San Ramon. In the 2 years that I've been working at DVC. I was really excited to join this. DVC's had a representative on this, Melanie Phillips, in the past, and then when she got pulled by the district office to work up there, our loss, there was a vacancy, and so I was eager to try to join that, because I think DVC plays a role in the transportation issues and opportunities in this area. So I think that it's important that we have representation. Plus, I also have an interest in this as well. My background, I have a PhD in geography and focused on urban planning. I was a planning commissioner for 8 years in Oregon. Prior to being at Ohlone, I was up in Oregon. So it was nice to be interviewed by the Planning Commission and be on the other side of the table. So done a lot with transportation and planning and all that stuff, so this is a great opportunity to get involved.
Great. Well, thank you once again and welcome. I currently have a daughter going to Ohlone, so that's pretty cool to hear that you came from Ohlone.
They're almost done with the new building construction. So hopefully she'll still be there to benefit from all the
new buildings. It's her first year, so.
She will be.
Yes, she will be. It's a beautiful campus, by the way. All right, I think that's all I had for that, Chris.
Okay, that's 4.1, in case you're following along with the recording. 4.2 is elect a chair and vice chair. So currently, I'm the chair, Williams is the vice chair. Fortunately, he's not here today. I'm not sure whether we want to. I've never been here when this is done, except when I first got here. So would the path to doing this be, see if we could have someone nominate people who might want to chair it?
Correct.
And then I'd say we probably, do you want to start with vice chair and then move to chair, or vice versa? Have you guys done in the past?
We usually do chair.
We usually do the chair first.
Okay.
And then the vice chair.
Okay.
Yeah, so just to kind of give you a little bit of background on that, the chair and the vice chair, it is a 12-month term, so it's just 1 year. So beginning today, yeah, exactly, it would go to next probably March. I mean, this is a rescheduled meeting. Normally, we would not be meeting in April, but we didn't meet last month. So the chair position would go until next March meeting. So with that, amongst the committee members, you guys can nominate an individual. I mean, Williams is, as you said, Williams is not here, but it still does not mean he cannot be nominated, given the role that he was, you know, vice chair last year. So just keep that in mind.
Yes. Well, just being current chair, I could say that I'm willing to continue if someone wants to nominate me or if someone wants to become it, that I'm open to that too. My role in becoming chair was just because I talk a lot. And I have a lot of things to say related to transportation in this area, and I'm involved in it. So I thought it was a good position for me to have. But Mike, it sounds like you probably know more than I do about transportation. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you're interested in doing that kind of stuff, that would be awesome too. I mean, anybody in this room can do it, and or vice chair. You know, generally, I just lead the meetings, and we'll often talk with Darlene about kind of tactics about how to move the committee forward, and. So I'm open to doing it again if anybody wants to nominate me, or we could nominate other people. So.
Chris will nominate you.
Thank you.
I second that.
Okay.
Do we have a vote?
Yeah.
All in favor?
Oh. In favor, say
aye.
Aye.
Woo. Okay, thank you for voting me in again. I'll do my best to do exactly what you guys want. So just tell me what you want, because if I don't know what you want, I'm going to do what I think is best. So please stay informed. Send me emails, ask me questions, come visit me at Bishop Ranch, and let's learn what we want to accomplish. So what about vice chair? Does William still want to do it? I wish he was here to say.
Yeah, I have not spoken to Williams in regards to that, but like I said, you know, it's up to you guys in the committee to be able, you know, if you guys want to keep them on or you guys want to.
The only extra thing that I would add is just that if I don't show up, which occasionally happens, but it's not, it's usually because I'm just I get disorganized or something and I show up late. But then you would step in and just lead the meeting. That's the only kind of requirement for it. I'm just interested in hearing if anybody wants to do it instead of Williams. I know Williams likes it, as far as I know, but are any of you guys interested?
Not at this time for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I nominate Williams.
Okay. It sounds like he works well with me, so I'm cool with him continuing. So can I second him?
Yeah.
All right. Yay, Williams.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you miss a meeting.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. It's a pretty easy job, though. I usually take care of everything. All right, great. I'm glad we got rid of that housekeeping stuff. One more thing, though. We have an annual report that Darlene wants to discuss. 4.3.
Right. So I'm going to go ahead and pass these around to give you guys an idea of what I'm talking about. So every year, we're supposed to present to City Council on the progress of this committee, especially since the committee members are appointed by City Council. And so this was a copy of the last presentation that we did. It's been a while, only because this committee hasn't been full for a while. And since last year, we did have a complete full committee. So when we report to City Council, we're always reporting the previous year. So I feel that this year we should move forward. Let's present to City Council. So the way it works is normally the chair of that year would do the presentation, which would be Chris Weeks. We work together as a committee to present and to highlight what this committee has worked on throughout that year. So it would be focusing on last year. I mean, the only thing that we need to do today is we could review this presentation, kind of go over, get familiar with the screens. Of course, these will be updated because this is old information. I did try to update a few of the slides, like the committee members. I did get it. I got around to doing that, but I didn't get a chance to update all the slides. I would work really closely with Chris on that and then bring it back to the committee at our next meeting, which is in May. May is our regular scheduled meeting. It's May, I wrote that down, 21st is our next scheduled meeting. So with that being said, what we need to decide is when we want to take this to City Council. With our meeting being in May, I would think, Chris, maybe we can take it in June. Okay. There's two meetings in June. We can focus on maybe the second meeting of June. It is not mandatory for the committee members to attend, but if you guys would like to attend, the City Council, you know, really enjoys seeing committee members at these meetings. Other than that, it would be a tag team between Chris, Weeks, and I. All right?
And it is broadcast, too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So,
TV.
So I just wanted to let you guys, just to kind of give you guys an idea of what is talked about. You know, basically, as I said, it's an overview of a calendar year, the previous calendar year. And, of course, some of these slides would not be, we would not include them. Like, for example, the employer transportation survey that was done back in 2013. But we would definitely let the City Council know that we are working on one for 2018. So we would be able to provide them some information on the upcoming survey. So that slide will definitely change. Bike to Work Day. Usually this presentation is done earlier in the year. So we could tag team and do 2 years of Bike to Work Day,
yeah,
or wait until next year to highlight 2018 to kind of get back on track. So with that being said, this slide could just be 2017 highlights.
And it's May 10th this year. In case
correct. Right. It's on. Yeah, it's May 10th. So we can play with this slide to see if we want to put that projection in or just wait till next year. And then the next slide about the organized and attended by the TVM Advisory Committee. This basically just highlights all the different events that we've done in the city. Each of you guys as a committee member, you know, we should plan some type of a commute tabling for your employees. I know Zane just did an event at the DVC San Ramon campus. I know Chris basically has the Bishop Ranch covered, but each of the other members, we should probably figure out how to reach to your employees. It could be something as simple as if you guys already have a health and benefit fair on the books, just invite us as a vendor, and, you know, we can show up. You know, 501 Contra Costa, you know, would show up and table. Or it could be just sitting in your break room and talking to a handful of employees about the 501 Contra Costa incentives, however you guys want to do that. But that's what this slide is basically about, just what does the committee do, and highlight a few things. And then vanpooling, it's a big, this slide right here is pretty important. My office does oversee the funding for vanpooling, and Chris and I work really closely on trying to get people into a vanpool, especially with a long commute. So if you have employers that actually travel a long distance to get to your employment site, you know, 501 Contra Costa has a vanpool incentive, and this basically will just give them, the council members, an update of how many vanpools are coming to and from our city. And then we just kind of put some, because I survey vanpool with the help of Amy, we survey our vanpool passengers every year. So this will have an updated fiscal year survey information for the City Council. So I won't go through all the slides, but you guys can basically get the, you know, the idea of how this works. So Chris and I will work together on this. We will have a draft complete, I should say a draft presentation to present to you guys at our next meeting in May. And then, as I said, we'll be on the City Council agenda for probably the last meeting in June. And then we'll do the presentation.
All right.
That's all I had on this, unless anybody has any questions.
Okay.
or suggestions, we can talk more in detail next month, too.
All right, I think that's it, Darlene. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And let's move on to agenda number 5, the unfinished business. So the San Ramon Transit Shelter Program.
Yes. So I've been talking about this for the last couple of months now. And so the city of San Ramon is embarking on updating transit shelters here throughout the city. So we are currently looking at the existing transit shelters that we have, and we're trying to figure out a new style of transit shelters. County Connection has a grant, $100,000. And the city of San Ramon has been awarded that $100,000 to purchase and install transit shelters. So right now our focus is to install transit shelters in the Doherty Valley area. There is currently no shelters in that area. So I'm working closely with County Connection and Outfront Media, who is the vendor for the shelters, to try to figure out where to put these transit shelters. But first, what we need to do is figure out the look, the design of new transit shelters. So, on April 25th, I am taking these four styles to the policy committee to get a recommendation to take to city council on new transit shelters to be installed up in the Doherty Valley area. These are four different shelters. it's back in front, so the front page, it kind of gives you a picture, and then it tells you, the back page tells you about the shelters. But those are four different styles that I'm taking to the policy committee. I am asking the policy committee, I don't know why I'm having a hard time today, to select two of the four. And then that's the two I will take to city council to get their final approval.
Do you have the locations marked yet in terms of where they will go?
We're suggesting some locations. So the locations we are suggesting is one by DVC, San Ramon Campus, and that would be on Bollinger Canyon Road and Watermill Road. We are suggesting that location. We're also suggesting one by Gale Ranch Middle School, by Doherty Valley High School, the Gale Ranch Plaza, Village Center, which is the new senior housing, and we're also looking in Six Pillars Park, which is up Windermere, because the bus does go up Windermere, so we were considering putting a shelter up there.
Can you send us those locations?
Yes, maybe? Most definitely. Okay. Yes. So those are the six locations that we are suggesting to the policy committee. And then at the same time, based on a list that we received from Outfront Media and notes from County Connection, there are six current transit shelters right now throughout the city that has low ridership. The bus still goes there, but it's low ridership. So what we're thinking is possibly removing those six shelters, and County Connection is offering a bench for those locations. And then since we're removing six, we're going to use those six to purchase the new and put six up in the Doherty Valley. And the reason why we're doing this is because we're under a contract with Outfront Media, and their contract is to maintain up to 25 shelters. So we have to make sure we stay within that 25 shelter. So if we remove six, then we can install six. And then it doesn't affect our bottom total. And then it also gives the city room to, once a shelter is selected, it will give the city an opportunity to maybe put shelters elsewhere throughout the city that may have a just a bench right now, or just the pole, and there's a lot of people, you know, getting on and off, you know. So that's the reason why for the six, removing six new.
Now, size of them, you say some of them are really busy areas and some of them are not. Could you do different designs at each one, or different sizes with the
right.
same design?
I believe they're all standard sizes in regards to the different shelters. I think the biggest decision is, do you want it to have a matching trash bin, or do you want it to have like the back panel for like wind protection or something? But I'll learn more about that, to be honest with you, at the policy committee, because the vendor is going to attend, just in case the committees of the policy committee has like these detailed specific questions about the transit shelters. But what I wanted to do today was for you guys to kind of look at the shelters and, you know, if two kind of pop out right now, that'd be great if you guys want to just kind of talk about it as a committee. I just formed a subcommittee with our TAC, which is the Transportation Advisory Committee, and that committee is that committee consists of residents of San Ramon. So three of them were interested in this project. So if any of you guys are interested in belonging to a subcommittee regarding this project and have a little bit more input, where they're going to go, and all this kind of stuff, you guys are more than welcome to be a part of that committee. As of right now, that committee will be meeting in the evenings. I don't know if that's an inconvenience or if you guys would like to be a part of it or not. But for today's meeting, what I kind of wanted you guys to do as a committee member, if you guys can review the four, and if you guys could maybe, if you guys come to agreement with maybe two that you guys really like together, or, you know, let me know.
Sure.
Chris, how do you want to?
Well, I think maybe before we start picking stuff, maybe we could just talk about what's important in shelter. And I could speak, we built our own shelters in Bishop Ranch, so I can speak from our experience building those things, that there are some, a lot of sensitive issues, both about the optics of them. That's something that we've already touched on, but also the kind of the day-to-day operations, cleanliness, maintenance, those kind of things. That's really important. And then there's the aspect of protection from the elements, protection from traffic, those kinds of things. These are all things that we should take into account, and know that if they aren't in a place where they're naturally lit, they aren't in a very more of an urban environment, they're going to need light. And once you start looking at lighting, then you have to start looking at power, or whether you put solar on it. So that each one of these is a can of worms.
Mm-hmm.
If something as simple as a trash can, it sounds like it makes a lot of sense until you have to have someone maintain and empty that trash can and make sure the area is clean. We made the decision in Bishop Ranch not to have trash cans, but we have on the schedule for our janitors to go and touch base on each one of those shelters and pick up piles of cups. But occasionally, especially near VR shops, if they forget one day, it looks like, you know, a trash whirlwind blew in there. Because it's every person gets a cup of coffee at Pete's and some snacky thing at Whole Foods and sits down and leaves the trash behind. Even though there's garbage cans on the bus, most people don't know there's a garbage can on the bus and they don't take advantage of that. So they're just going to leave it sitting in the shelter. So then there's the security part of trash cans. So, you know, is there a bomb in the trash can? Is it going to be someone who doesn't want to fill their own trash can is going to drive up there, jump out of their car, and dump a trash bag full of trash? So, I know it sounds simple and it makes a lot of sense to put an amenity in something like a trash can, but I think that, you know, it needs to be discussed more deeply. I think maybe what Darlene's asking for now is just kind of more of a visual thing, and maybe some of the points that we're interested in including in the subcommittee's discussion.
Yes.
And I think I've mentioned some of those, you know, the mm-hmm. you know, the trash can issue, lighting and power.
Yeah.
And then of course protection from the elements is the last thing, and you mm-hmm. mentioned that too, that
correct.
It's some places it's really important, you know, even here in California, but today it's hailing out there. Mm-hmm. If you're sitting in a bus stop you're going to be cold, even if you are surrounded by glass walls. And that's the decision we made in Bishop Ranch, is to put glass all the way around. But some of the drawbacks of that is you have to clean that glass. And sometimes you can't clean the glass because there's a great form of graffiti, which is used glass etching. So if someone wants to write, you know, hi, they probably won't write hi, but they'll write hi on it. You've got to get there and replace that. So, I mean, there is a drawback having large pieces of glass. I mean, it's always cheaper to have smaller panels or multiple panels. So maybe think about that when you're looking at these designs. One giant glass panel, if someone comes along and decides to smash that, it's $1,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
So it ends up being pretty pricey. There might not be options that have smaller panel pieces, but I'd really recommend going with the smaller panel pieces that you can. And there's one thing that's not in here at all is next bus arrival information.
Well, yeah, that's...
We can talk about that. They're piloting a couple of units.
Yes,
in Bishop Ranch that have a little solar panel.
Yes.
They put them on top of the post. They have a digital readout that says when the next bus is coming along. They power themselves. You don't have to wire them anything. And the big problem with them is they need to, of course, be maintained and programmed. And that's something County Connection has a contract for.
Right.
So I know I've just talked for freaking ever. But it, I mean, if there's a way to deliver some of those things and anything else that anybody else wants to bring up.
Yeah, no, you bring up really good points. And that's all going to be talked about, discussed once the city decides on a shelter. The number one thing we need to do, and that's why I'm going to the policy committee, is to select a style. Once we select the style of that transit shelter, then we'll get into the specifics, as Chris mentioned. We'll go to those locations. We'll look at the locations. We'll look at the different paneling. Once again, the city has an agreement with Outfront Media, so a lot of the maintenance stuff that Chris is talking about, Outfront Media does that for the city under our current agreement. The trash, that is through the city of San Ramon. We just need to get on their schedule, and that's something, once again, we will work out once the style of the shelter is selected. The $100,000 that I mentioned from County Connection, it is just for the transit shelters and for the installation. Just want to just make sure, you know, it's a grant, and, you know, and so that's why we're moving forward, going to the policy committee, getting their recommendation, taking it to City Council in May, and then moving forward and working with County Connection and Outfront Media to hopefully get these in, you know, before the end of the year. I don't know how long it takes to do these. But currently, right now, the first step is to select a style. And these are the four styles that the vendor has. So, I mean, if you guys want to send me an email later and just say, hey, I like these two, or unless you want to just kind of go through each of them right now and just say, all right, how many of you guys right now like the Niagara series? You know, it's more of a visual for the Doherty Valley. Just keep that in. I didn't bring the pictures. I have pictures of our current shelters. Sorry, I forgot to bring those.
I think a couple of things. Just the Doherty Valley is very windy, so I think definitely having it protected is a must. And for Chris's comment about the glass, I'm looking on the very last page, and while I'd say this is less attractive than this beautiful glass enclosure, the fourth one down on the last page, the idea of having advertisement there addresses that, and it can be changed out easily and all that stuff. So from a maintenance standpoint, you know, it might be a little less attractive than a nice glass thing, but from a maintenance and then return on investment in terms of advertising, something like that might look
right. Nice. And one thing, I mean, I didn't get into the detail of the agreement that we have with Outfront Media, but one of the things is the city has to have so many commercial shelters, which is the advertising, and then based on that, then we have we are for every, I think, three or five, I have to read this really quick, commercial shelters, we have to provide one non-commercial. A non-commercial means no advertisement. But the ones that we are looking into removing from our existing inventory, they are commercial shelters. So these shelters that will be put in the Doherty Valley area will most likely be commercial shelters with advertising.
I'm just going to say, I want to say something on kind of behalf of Bishop Ranch, mm-hmm. is that that we look at the new bridge going over the Iron on the Iron Horse Trail over Bollinger as kind of like a gate into the new city center, mm-hmm. kind of like a portal. And during the public process of designing that bridge and selecting the design, there was kind of an array of looks considered. Everything from kind of more traditional looking stone and old bronze and mm-hmm. things like that, to what we chose, which is it was more post-tension kind of bridge, more of a sleek modern look for that. And there was some concern by some members of the Doherty Valley corridor that mm-hmm. was too modern for how they thought of their corridor. So we do our own shelters inside Bishop Ranch, so your decision here
yes.
shouldn't impact our look and what we're going to be planning to do there. It'll be for the culture of what you see through Doherty Valley.
Correct.
It's just, you'd be surprised how much this kind of determines how things look. Just like kind of permanent streetscape stuff can kind of set the feeling for mm-hmm. the street. And if you lock it in a particular way, I don't want to bias anybody in any particular direction, but it's just, keep in mind that if our community is going to stay the same, like lots of golf courses and things like that, then maybe something super traditional like a golf course thing looks good. But I think that if we've seen that there's trends in the Doherty Valley, that those golf courses are changing and being repurposed, and there's a new look going on and new ways of using those courses. Isn't there one that actually has a brewery on it and some other things they're thinking on opening? So there's the valley is changing, so I think it might be important to keep an eye to that and not lock it down with something that's super traditional just because maybe today it seems right.
Mm-hmm.
Enough said there. Just keep that in mind.
Once again, it's up to you guys. You guys don't have to. If you guys feel strongly about one of these fours, you guys can send me an email. The subcommittee, we did meet, and the two that they are suggesting is the Euro and the Signature Series. Those are their suggestions for the policy committee. Once the transit shelter is chosen, then I can get more into the nitty-gritty of exactly what that transit shelter will look like with the vendor. But for right now, the information, in front of us is exactly what I have. 'Cause as you could see, if you're looking at it shows you different types of shelters based on, like, the Euro series. It looks like you could do other things with it. It comes in different colors. The glass is different on some of them.
What style, if we have one, are there right now? Because I noticed on Montevideo, Montevideo and Acosta changed recently. What line is that? One of these lines?
No, the ones we have today, and I can run to my desk real quick. They're more of just, I want to call them like bunker style. They're just like square. Yeah. I don't know if you guys, I can go to my desk real quick.
I noticed they changed. So.
Yeah, and we have two very old ones. If you guys do ever drive around San Ramon, they're located on Acosta Boulevard. They are orange, and it's a wood. Eventually we would like to switch that out to put in one of the, a new style once that's selected. It's not part of this $100,000 that we're getting currently from County Connection, but it is something that we would like to change out. But other than that, throughout the city, they're brown and let me go to my desk real quick. I have the folder right on my desk.
continuity would be nice because we're supposed to be one community and not two separate communities.
Right.
So
true.
Having something on the bottom and then something on the top, we want to keep it, it's one road.
Right.
We don't want like 10 different designs coming in and out.
Yeah, unless it's like part of the some crazy business that's near it that needs that highlighting.
Right. I drive in from Dublin on Doherty. So I'm coming up the back side. So, you know, you see the different changes as you're coming around. You're like, oh, what am I in Santa Rosa? You know?
It's hard to tell sometimes.
Sometimes it's hard. Yeah. You know, so just, you know, with all the new building going on and all the old traditional, you know, is there a medium that will work and then eventually change everything over? So it's not just a little bit here and a little bit there and then it looks just spotty.
100,000.
Doesn't
sound like that much money.
I know.
Is it really going to cover six?
That's what we're hoping.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
These are a good deal.
According to the vendor, that's why it's important to pick out the style. And then once we pick out the style, they'll be able to provide us with the quote. We are suggesting six. We might not get all six. We might only get four. I don't know. It's just going to depend on the style. So the two here, these are the two older ones that I was talking about on Al Costa. Mm-hmm. Those are the older ones that eventually we would like to. And then the one that Amy has, this one is a non-commercial, but this is what the non-commercial looks like. And then this is, here Zane will pass out the one that we have today for a commercial shelter. They're just a square. It's just nothing fancy. So anything. So these pictures that I gave you guys are a lot different than what we have today.
Yeah.
They're more modern. They're a little nicer looking than what we have today. So just to give you guys a visual of what we have.
Can I put in one vote for something? Because we're in the middle of, we launched a 100 bike share program in Bishop Ranch. It's
mm-hmm.
going really, really well. There's more bike share bikes all the time.
Uh-huh.
Personally, and from our operations experience, it's much better to have these bikes locked to something. As far as when the bikes fall down, every time they fall, they get broken. They get bent.
Thank
they
you.
Get stomped on.
Thank you.
I think that you might want to bring this up, Darlene,
uh-huh.
your other hat, is that it might be a good idea to look at installing a bike rack
mm-hmm.
for bike share bikes
mm-hmm.
at each one of these new locations.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you got to have something for them to lock to, or else they're just going to end up getting destroyed from falling.
Yeah. No, that's a very good point, and that would be something that 501 Contra Costa will be able to provide. It would not be part of the $100,000 that we get from County Connection.
Okay.
But, yeah. So, I mean, like I said, you guys don't have to. I just wanted to show you guys the different styles that I'm taking to the policy committee. And then, like I said, if you guys feel strongly about a certain style, please let me know.
Yeah, I think the signature series looks nice.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You too.
Yeah.
Okay.
In Pleasant Hill, we've been tearing out the old shelters, the ones that she passed around,
mm-hmm.
The orangish metal ones, because people were living in them.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a lot of protection in those spaces, but the seating wasn't designed in a way that kept people from just sleeping there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tempting to lay down if you don't have any place to lay down
yeah.
in that
so
bus shelter. Yeah, so it's good to just keep that in mind, too, when you guys are talking about the seating. Just make
yeah.
sure that we don't put in something that's going to create a problem or invite a problem.
Very true. Very true.
It's easy to clean, so not go all the way to the ground. If they go all the way to the ground, that does protect you from wind,
mm-hmm.
but it makes it a lot harder and trash gets trapped in there, blows in, and sticks. But if there's a little opening at the bottom, it can go right through.
Right,
which
right.
is
good point.
Which is nice for cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps them from getting too sweltering hot in the heat by
yes.
having the opening in the bottom.
Yeah.
Because they do get really hot when they're
boxed
in the sun, especially when the heat gets pretty intense.
Yeah.
Well, and for Chris's point on the bench, they also need to be wide enough to accommodate larger people. You know, it's always when it's too
just,
narrow.
Yeah,
too narrow.
That's
just,
true.
It needs to be, you know, I think that happy medium between be able to lay down but also sit comfortably,
right,
and not be squeezed with hard
walls.
Do you have a lot of kids that bus into the school?
A fair amount, but not as many as we'd like. We'd like to have more, but I mean, we do, and it's there's a lot of complaints about kind of where the site is, and that's the thing that we always start talking about.
I had an eye-opening going with my daughter to SF State on the bus in the BART because she commutes. She's a commuter. She doesn't own a car. She doesn't own anything. So I did a couple days in her life and did the BART and did the buses and did the Muni. And there's a lot, some comfortable things and some really uncomfortable things about being a commuter. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and one of them was, oh, it's hot in here. There's not any seats. Half the people are outside depending on, you know, what the rider numbers are. So kind of a little bit for everybody. Mm-hmm. But what I really saw was, you know, people who don't drive, mm-hmm. you know, and or have a bike with them. There's a lot of where do you put those things at? You know, so it was a good field trip to go on. I will not be a commuter that way ever. Can't do it.
All right. Well, thank you.
It should be part of making it better for those that do.
Absolutely. It was eye opening. Yep.
All right, that's okay. All I have for that.
So the deliverable is we send an email to you? Or
if you guys have, like, if you guys want to add any other comments, I can take to policy.
Do we want to send someone to your subcommittee meeting?
Oh, yeah, if somebody's interested in participating in the subcommittee. I mean, right now we really don't have a date on the books because I'm waiting for the policy committee to meet. And then the plan is to take it to City Council in May. So it's a pretty quick turnaround because policy meets on the 25th, and then City Council is May sometime. So it's a pretty fast turnaround. And then I think the plan is, and then the subcommittee, as I said, they are TAC members. So the plan is to meet maybe an hour before the TAC meeting, and they normally meet the Thursdays of the month.
Where?
Here.
Thursdays.
Yeah.
What time that is?
Six. So we're planning on, you know.
So it'd be one meeting about it.
Yeah. Just kind of like, this is what the policy committee chose. This is the style. And then once City Council adopts the style and says, okay, we like this style, then I can start working with the vendor and seeing what exactly that $100,000 would get us.
Does anybody want to go to? I think it would be bad if I went because I'm more. I'm Bishop Branch focused, mm-hmm. and we have our own shelters, and I don't feel like it's really my business to be able to go to that and tell the city what kind of.
Well, as I yeah, so
I mean, if someone wants to go from this group,
yeah,
one meeting, no,
yeah, I can send it out. I'll send you guys an email, and whoever wants to come can come. Yeah, let's, you know, we can just do that.
Okay, that works.
Okay.
Okay, so strategic plan update yet again, Darlene.
I know, huh? I'm just. Alrighty, this is pretty brief. I already, once again, these are all recurring items that we've talked about at previous meetings. Just a really quick update about the strategic plan. I just wanted to give you guys a heads up that the consulting firm is working on a survey that's going to be sent out, and they're calling it it's an external survey for individuals like these, like you guys, the committee, and then it's going to be an online survey. And once I get that link, actually, the consultant firm is going to send out the link to the committee members. Right now, we're working on a survey for our customers. Our customers are the individuals in our database that have taken advantage of our incentives through 501 Contra Costa. So that's right now, that's the survey they're working on. That should probably go out within the week.
I got one the other day.
From
Liliana?
Yeah, you did?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
It's already out, I think. Or maybe they may send it to me early, I don't know.
I don't know. I was just talking to her today. So, okay, well, the survey is coming, and so hopefully you guys will get a survey link soon. I just wanted to give you a heads up if you see something from Liliana Scott, I believe her name is, but I'll let you guys know. Lillian something. Scott, and so if you guys could take the survey, I'd really appreciate it. But more to come on that, and I'll let you guys know exactly, like, hopefully.
How did you end up with Lilia? She's cool. She's from an ETA planner originally.
Well, that was the consulting firm that we chose, the AECOM. She works with AECOM.
Okay. Yeah, and she was like the consulting firm for the BTA. For
yeah. But that's it. Just a really quick, keep an eye out.
And then now the employer survey. So this is something that we do as much as we can.
Yeah.
Ideally, we would do it every 2 years, but we're a little delayed.
So I threw this together really quickly. This is just for kind of like an FYI for you guys today. As I said, our next meeting is May 21st, and we are really going to dive into this employer survey more at that meeting, because hopefully all the committee members will be here. But this is a draft timeline, and once again, it is draft. We were saying at our, you know, a couple of meetings ago, this survey is going to focus the month of October. So I kind of just worked up from that on when we should start establishing our employer list. I put a date into that, and then I kind of just started putting some dates, as you could see. Establish an employer list. So basically what that means is I send an email out to all my employers in our database. Chris, basically, I don't know if you'll do the same or if your employees will automatically be a part of the survey. But from my side, I will send an email out inviting employers to participate. So you all will get something from me saying, you know, the survey is going to take place in October. I'll give a little background of what we want the surveys. And normally we give the employer 2 weeks to reply back saying, yeah, I want in. And in that mailing, it would also say, this is a contact person. You know, just this is the contact person you work with. We have 100 employees. And that way we start building our employer list, because that's really important when we start working on the bid for the consultant, because the consultant's going to want to know, how many people are we targeting? And it's important to kind of give them an estimate, but a pretty accurate estimate, so they know. Because our fund for this is $20,000, so it's not like, you know, they just need to know what they're getting in and what we want for them to do for this survey. So this timeline, like I said, I kind of just work backwards from October. And my little notes, I kind of put some notes. So sent out the bid for the consultant. I said that should be sent out by July 23rd. And that's basically 11 weeks prior to the survey. It says week, but it'd be month. Since we're focusing on October 1st, I just kind of went up 11 weeks from that. And that brought us to July. And then the bids are due. Just in the past, we've always given them 3 weeks and then roughly 2 days for them to send something back to us. So that's why I came up with that August 15th date. So, which means this committee reviews the bids. So we normally do not have a meeting in August. So because of this timeline, we're going to need to meet in August. So I threw out 2 dates. So we could talk about that the next meeting in May. And then award the bid, usually after we meet a couple of days later, because this committee will select the consultant. That's pretty easy. Once we select the consultant, it's just a phone call and email saying, hey, yes, we would like to start working with you. And so I'm hoping this consultant can start working the first week in September. That way the consultant has a month to start creating the survey. Surveys are usually done online. That's why when I send out the letter in July asking the employer to participate, I have a lead person in every agency that will get that link. And then that person will send out the email to their employees. But we could work all that out later. So these dates I kind of just threw in based on what we've done in the past with a target of surveying employees in October. You know, it is draft, and hopefully, if you can see, the final report will be completed in January, because it will take some time since we're doing it in October. And hopefully we'll have all this wrapped up by January 2019. So then when we present to council next year, our annual report, this information will be included in our annual report to the city council. So this is just today, kind of more just a FYI. We will dive into this a lot more next month, once again, when all the hopefully we'll have a full committee. And then we will also start working on the bid for the consultant. I will draft up something. We could start reading through there and working on that, because before you know it, July is going to be here. So, and it's kind of important to stick to these dates with these type of surveys, especially we want to give the consultant at least a month to get ready. If we could, a little more than a month, but it's a pretty quick timeline.
Do you want to pick an August meeting date today?
I say let's wait till May when we have hopefully we'll have a full committee.
Okay.
And that way we can pick an August date in May.
Okay.
That's what I'm suggesting.
All right.
Okay. And that's all I had on that.
Just to be on the record, I will not be here in May.
You will not be here in May.
I will not be here in May. I will be out of I'll be gone for the whole month.
Okay.
So do you have a preference for that August date?
Yeah, really, you really.
I'll make whatever.
All right, so that brings us on to Bike to Work Day, which I've been planning a little bit. We have, I'll start while Darlene's writing, but generally we basically have one of the biggest standardizer stations in the area in partnership with the city, and also 511 Contra Costa at Bollinger Canyon at the Iron Horse Trail. So if you're cruising up Bollinger, across the trail, you look to your left or your right, one of the two, you're going to see us there. We're on the sports basement side, so it'd be awesome if you came visit. What Bishop Ranch does is we try to provide food, drink, and shade, and other stuff to do while you're there, and some giveaways. I've already purchased a bunch of stuff we're giving away. Each year we try to pick kind of one prize to give out. And this year I formed a relationship with this company called Nog, K-N-O-G, which is a bike equipment manufacturer. And they make this really awesome bell that they've actually spent a lot of time working on. It's very sleek and light and great sounding. So we bought 400 of those to hand out. And they're on their way on a boat from Australia right now. So I think the reason we picked them is they're very simple. There's no place to brand them, so our brands aren't on there anywhere. But we picked them because they just look really sleek, so, and they're very light. So even like a road bike person would have them, could fit them on their handlebars and not be irritated by it or feel like it's an extra waste of. And bells are essential on the Iron Horse Trail with pedestrians, and it drives me crazy that people are removing these things from their bikes just to save an ounce or something like that. And then they're having to shout at people or scare people on the trail. So this is kind of our vote for everybody having a bell, so we're going to be handing those out. And then Darlene can continue from there. There's other things.
So as you guys all should have received in your mail, this kind of toolkit, we call it. It has a bunch of information for you to pass out to your employees to help promote to the public. If you guys need any additional flyers or posters, please take them. But as Chris said, we'll be on the trail on May 10th, probably about 5:30 in the morning. Our Energizer station opens up at 6 a.m. and we go to 10 a.m. We partnered with Sports Basement. Whole Foods is providing us with the $300 gift card. So Chris and I will get to go shopping for some smoothie stuff. We have a bike blender. This year we're using, the City of Santa Ramon has a Street Smarts program, and we're using their bike blender. Basically, people go and they and make their own smoothie by biking. It's a stationary bike. It's a big hit. As Chris says, we have one of the biggest Energizer stations, and we get a lot of people, mainly for the burritos. But those burritos are good. and I'll have all the swag from Bike to Work Day. So I get Bike to Work Day bags from as a regional sponsor for a Bike to Work Day. So Chris does a great job with getting like incentives, giveaways. I come with all the regional stuff, so and some 501 Contra Costa stuff. I'm gonna bring the lip balm again because that seems to be a hit at Bike to Work Day. I still have a box of those, and then like I said, the regional bags, which each of you guys will get as soon as I get my shipment. But yeah, if you guys have nothing else to do on Thursday, May 10th at 6 in the morning, come on down and come greet us. And I think Williams is coming to take pictures. That's what I have.
Our masseuse fell through, so I'm looking for...
Oh, that's right. I was supposed to ask somebody.
I'm looking for another masseuse.
I will...
A chair massage.
Okay.
So I have one recommendation, so I'm supposed to send out information on it. But
maybe ask Amanda.
Okay.
She might know.
Yeah. So that's it. So please, at the end of the meeting, if you guys want... And I also have some Spanish ones. I don't know if you guys need any to post in break rooms or anything. Just please take... Other than that, I hope to see you on the trail.
We actually may have a bike to give away this year. We're still working with Sports Basement to try to figure that out, but it's possible. So.
All right. Perfect.
And lots of good coffee. Coffee is very good.
Yes.
Equator coffee, so it's pretty strong stuff, good quality.
It is pretty strong.
Yeah. not bad. That's not bad.
But you need that at 5:30,
yeah,
6 o'clock.
Also,
in the
decaf. For other.
It's
all right.
Not real.
It's coffee-like material.
Yeah.
Okay, so 5.5, we're almost done here.
Yes.
We're getting started on time. So
yes.
Commuter fares. What did
really, really quick on that, just a reminder once again. If there's something happen on site at your employer, please remember, get a hold of me. And or Zane, and we will come out and table for your employees. 501 Contra Costa, as you guys all know, you know, we provide commute incentives. It's just getting the word out. You guys are also employers in Contra Costa County, so if you guys have employees that take a commute alternative, they qualify for a guaranteed ride home. And that's up to 6 times a year. It's on a reimbursement basis, but as long as they take a commute alternative, 501 Contra Costa can get them home.
About the $25?
And the $25, if they bike, walk, take transit, carpool, vanpool, they get $25 as long as they take a commute alternative. So these are things that we're just trying to get out to your employers, employees. So, yes, so send me an email and let's get some dates on the calendar for the rest of this year. And like I said, Zane and or I will come and table.
Yeah, I think that would be great for DVC, especially with the $25 thing. And anybody takes that bus can get $25 straight out. So.
And on DVC's, on the side note for DVC, we do also provide their students with a transit incentive. Students at DVC, they get one free transit ticket, and it's per semester. I work with Ann to fulfill that application. When Zane tabled about a month ago, he brought back a lot of applications of interested students. And like I said, it's every semester, as long as they are registered at DVC San Ramon. And I thank Ann for taking on that to be our admin staff there to say, yep, they are a student.
Okay, and what about the countywide incentive? Do you want to mention?
So just really, really quick on this one, just to let you guys know, 501 Contra Costa stopped the pilot program with Scoop. I don't know if you guys were advertising that at your employment sites, but basically 501 Contra Costa was providing individuals with $2, an incentive to use Scoop to travel to work or get home, right? Yeah, either which way. But that pilot program for 511 Contra Costa has ended. Doesn't mean Scoop is no longer there. Please still use Scoop to use if you guys use Scoop.
Yeah, you guys just ran out of money on the contract.
Exactly, yeah.
So we still subsidize rides in Bishop Ranch, so there's all Bishop Ranch people are members of this, and if you match with them, they'll drive you in, and the driver gets paid through our subsidy. As a passenger, you wouldn't get an additional subsidy. You'd probably pay something like $3 for the
Correct.
Ride. but it's been going gangbusters.
Yeah.
Been like, it's just been doubling every month, and it's that's what happened to Contra Costa. Is there was just too much interest.
Yeah, we had a lot of interest in the pilot.
It
yeah.
just got overwhelming yeah. to be able to, and we're struggling to keep up with the financial part of it, but we're in the middle of signing a new contract with them right now, so that's still yeah. going, and you know, it might be interesting for DVC and some other places as we figure out how to write these contracts so you don't end up getting in a financial hole if we get a lot of people joining it. Because the last thing you want is a disincentive to form lots of carpools.
Yeah. Right.
Our goal is to an incentive to form more. So we're trying to fix the contracts for that.
Great. Perfect. And that's all I have.
Okay, and I just had a few quick things just in case it comes up. We are testing a fully autonomous bus in the road in Bishop Ranch. So people may ask you about that. What is it? What's going on? So what's exactly going on right now is we're actually proving that it can communicate with a light, a street signal. So we have a temporary signal in a parking lot, and the city is coming to watch how that vehicle communicates with that signal. Once the city's happy with it, then they're going to allow us to put in the communications device onto the intersection that goes between 2700 Camino Ramon and Bishop Ranch 3, which is just basically mid-block of Camino Ramon between between Executive and Bishop. Is that right?
Yeah.
Midway.
Midway.
There.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, so we're going to start crossing there and interacting with that light, which is, it seems like a small step, but it's very complicated. A lot of things can happen in an intersection. It's a relatively simple intersection, but we're going to add City Center also to that as City Center opens, so people can take it from Bishop Branch 3 through the parking lot at 2700 and get picked up at BlackBerry, SAP, and GE, and then go to the crosswalk right in front of the new City Center. So that's something that's interesting. When City Center opens, we already announced that the bus 35 is going to be called the City Center route, and it's going to go through Doherty Valley and end right at City Center in a new stop right in front of it. And all the businesses in City Center will be in our TMA. So everybody that works there will get a free bus pass, let it access to all our programs, so they'll be treated like employees of Bishop Ranch, which they will be, kind of. So those are some kind of like important things that you might run into or read in the media that we're doing, but there's, you know, we're ongoing all our other stuff, and Scoop is another thing that we're growing. We're looking very closely at expansions of EV charging through PG&E. There's this new program called, I think it's called, not called Charge, but it's like an
it's
EV electrical mm-hmm. program, and they'll actually pay for all of the trenching for installing EV chargers. They pay for it all, and all you have to pay for is 75% of the charger itself. So usually put in a run of EV chargers is like, you know, $30,000-$40,000 to get a trench and put in all this new panels and all this stuff. They'll pay for all of that. So if you're at a place where you might be interested in doing
we're getting ready to
yes,
put
they,
in a budget.
Yes, they are getting some EV charging
great.
Stations.
So it's an amazing program. We've been waiting for something like this for mm-hmm. years. So we're planning every single building we're going to put in EV charging. So
yeah.
And our hydrogen station is going great, so you can get a hydrogen vehicle and fuel your hydrogen car right here in Bishop Ranch if you want. So that makes it easier. So
plug.
Well, we don't get any money from that. That
I
all
know.
Goes to Lindy. We got the grant, but we just gave it to Lindy to operate.
Correct.
So we just wanted to have it there. So
perfect.
We're out of time. So
yeah.
Next time I'll try to bring more information.
Thanks, everyone. See you guys in May.
Yep.
And don't forget to take flyers if you need.